Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, one of the pastors on staff at Brookside, and with me is Pastor Joe Helm. We've been looking at characteristics of people in 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about what it's going to be like in the last days and folks that don't have the Word of God ruling in their lives. It brought us to the point of understanding that Paul said that the folks are going to be unholy. How characteristic is that?
Yeah, Pastor Greg, this is the eighth characteristic in this long list we have in 2 Timothy 3 here that Paul said, you've got to understand that we're going to be in perilous times and that people are going to be this way, the way they behave, the way they think. And we started out, of course, with the complete misdirection of love in the first words, self-lovers and silver lovers. And we talked about those that have an inordinate, magnified impression of their own selves in boasters and arrogant and revilers or blasphemous, the word is. And basically the idea is they're just abusive speech, a disdain and a rejection of other people and denigrating them with speech. And then we looked at disobedient to parents and then ungrateful, having an unthankful heart, unthankful spirit. Now we come to the eighth characteristic here, unholy. And I think really when this talks about someone and the people of those times being unholy, it's really more than outward conduct. Certainly that's included. But it's also talking about the inner attitude, because that's where it really all starts.
Sure. Right.
Starts in the heart from within. Out of the heart a man proceeds, Christ said, all the forms of sin, etc. And so it's a mindset. The idea here is that it's no fear or reverence for God or the things of God. There's just no consecration to God, no regard for any duty or obligation to God. It wouldn't really cross their mind. I mean, we might use the word irreverent.
Sure.
I mean, that paints somewhat of a picture for us. No respect for even what is basically decent among people. No concern. In fact, this kind of fella is so outward in his irreverence and lack of regard or obligation to God or others that he doesn't even care about his own reputation. It's just kind of a Mad Max world.
Right. So in essence, it's somebody who basically mocks anything that's sacred. And so if it's sacred according to the Word of God or whatever, then, oh, that's something we can throw up and laugh at and make fun of, whether it be on late night shows or regular TV shows or music or anywhere we look. Anything that is sacred is no longer sacred to this kind of an individual.
Right. And you know, it's interesting here with the word that's being used here. There's often several facets of meaning. And that is certainly a primary facet. There's another one, though, that basically says that, therefore, as a result of that condition, as a result of that kind of attitude and thinking, they are repulsive to God. They cannot approach God.
Sure.
It's like God stiff-arms them. You know, there is that verse that says that God resists the proud.
Right.
But gives grace to the humble. The word resist there is this idea, too, that he just holds them off because they're just unworthy. They're unworthy to be in his presence in that condition. In other words, we might just say they're just foul.
Right.
And they can't come near. But, of course, God in his love in Christ gives them the gospel witness, and by his grace, he loves and forgives. And it's a wonder. It's an amazing thing.
So in other words, when they are wanting to come to Christ in repentance of sin and find forgiveness and salvation, there's no stiff arm at all.
No.
The arms of God are open wide. But if they're just simply coming wanting to be relieved from maybe the circumstances of their own sin, then the arm of God is out. It's a stiff-arming attitude and a stiff-arming response from God to those kind of hard-hearted people.
Yeah. And the next word, number nine here in the list, unloving. Not only is there no love or respect or concern for the things of God, but there's not even a love for his own family, those that should be the natural objects of his affection. The word here is without love. And, you know, in the Greek language, there's many different words for love. And this is one of those words for love that talks about the concept of love for family, the love and concern for your community, your neighbors, and a love and appreciation even for your country, and the idea of patriotism goes along with this.
Oh, wow.
And this is a word that just says it's without any of that.
Mm.
In other words, we might just say hard-hearted, cold and heartless. You've
sure.
heard those words used of criminals on news reports. The idea is unfeeling, without regard for any other person's feelings or considerations. And, you know, you think about this, and the implications of this on society are profound, because our whole fabric of peace and harmony in society is based on common decency, treating people with some degree of care and kindness and respect. And this is describing people that don't have even that. And therefore, the very fabric of the relationships of a well-ordered society are in jeopardy.
And so when we see that kind of a response from these folks, the King James says, without natural affection, in other words, it's all about me, is that attitude. And, you know, I can see that in my counseling, that often I'll come across a family where mother has just walked out the door and left the kids, and you're going, what happened? I mean, 20 years ago, that never would have happened. Regardless of what's going on in the home, she would be there with the children. But yet moms today are just walking off the scenes. And it is very simply without natural affection. And the very next thing then talks about how that without that natural affection, then it doesn't make any difference what we have said, what vows we have taken. We can break those. Because if it isn't best for me, or I don't like it, my situations have changed, then I'm going to break this truce. I'm going to break this agreement as to how we're going to live.
Yeah, the next word is irreconcilable. An complete unwillingness to be at peace. Another translation of it is unforgiving. It's just a flat-out refusal to be at peace with other people, no matter what the cost or consequences. Even if it hurts the person, they're still going to be determined to have their own way, and even to the point that if it hurts them or damages their own interest. It's really quite remarkable that people could have this severe of a mindset about their own way, no compromise, no appeal. You know, you can't reason with them. We've often heard the phrase, it's my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this describes these kinds of people. And the sad thing is that this actually drives people away from them, and their life only gets worse.
Right, right.
Because it's just their personal circumstances go from bad to worse.
Hmm. And so as we look at folks like that, then we begin to understand that even if the truth does not advance their agenda, then they'll just simply begin to tell lies.
Yeah, you know, and also it's always nice, again, to come back to, all right, what is the opposite of that? Just so we get a refreshing biblical picture of what we should be as believers up and against those types of characteristics. Well, the opposite spirit-filled or biblical concept of this is found in James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. In other words, it's having a spirit that desires harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It's having a spirit and a heart that is disposed to be at peace with people, and a welcoming spirit that people find it easy to approach you.
So what I'm hearing you say is the church should be a scene on which those characteristics are evidenced. And if the unsaved world is watching and listening to what's going on in churches, it ought to be such a drastic contrast to the signs of the last days and the perilous times that they would be able to say, wow, those folks are so different one from another in their backgrounds and racial status and things like that. But yet, look at how much they love each other, and they work out their problems, and they become just a really sweet family. That is the picture that God wants to give us in today's society. This is what he can do when he's in charge.
Yeah, it's a genuine concern for others.
Exactly.
And again, Christ said it, the greatest commandments are loving God and loving others. And yourself has no play in that other than dying to yourself in order to let loving God and loving others really take the forefront. And so it's having that spirit of openness, a reasonableness, a willing to listen. And really, it's even beyond listening, because oftentimes you're talking with somebody and you can tell they're listening only to the extent that they need to come up with their next argument. You know, this is a willingness to listen, to truly and genuinely and sincerely understand.
Listening to understand as opposed to listening to speak.
Yeah, and listening to win.
Yes, exactly, right. Yeah.
And so oftentimes it's just good to come back and say, okay, what is the biblical response that I ought to have instead of these characteristics of this end time? Because again, we're all still fallen even though we're redeemed. We've got that old man and that old nature. And Paul, of course, describes in Romans 7 the war in our members, the battle that's going on between our old man and the spirit. So we need to make sure that we're continually renewing our minds with the truth and making sure that we're living in this way that is meek and it's patient and it's kind, in order that those that oppose God, those that we're reading about here,
right,
would see a difference and see a light. And if God would perhaps give them repentance, it says, and they would come to their senses and come to acknowledge the truth. Now, the next word in our list is kind of at the heart of the whole thing. I think the King James translation of it is slander, if I'm not mistaken.
False accusers.
False accusers,
yes. Yeah,
which would be slander.
Yes.
Actually, the word there is diabolos.
Oh.
So, in other words, it's coming from one of the very words that's used to give the devil a name.
Exactly.
The slanderer, the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And this describes people in the end times to a T as well. Accusers, slanderers, painting false pictures of their intentions, of their heart, of their attitude, or their life.
And you know, Pastor Joe, it's so sad because I know believers often are tempted to do those kinds of things for the better good, you know, and they say, well, I know this is not the best way to approach it, but this is what needs to happen. And so we just kind of fit in with our society and begin to say things and do things that are so much like others around us that we fail to realize these are the signs of diabolos, of the devil. It's kind of like being in the left-hand lane of traffic and you're going 80 miles an hour, but everybody else is going 80 miles an hour. And so if anybody points out how fast you're going, you simply look at them and say, well, I'm just flowing with the traffic. And that is an easy adjustment to make in our driving. But yet when we're flowing with the traffic concerning the end times and concerning how other people are responding and speaking and slandering people, we better not even be close to flowing with the traffic, because we know that at that point, wow, we are definitely not a vessel that God can bless and a horrible testimony for His name. And so we've run out of time again today, but I trust you'll join us this next time to begin to understand that these are indeed characteristics of last times, but it's exciting because we can shine as lights in the darkest night. And so until next time, I trust that God will bless you in a fantastic way.